Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. These are conversations at the edge of consciousness where science, spirit, and the unknown collide. I've got a return guest today who I'm very excited about. And I'm wondering, what if Lemuria was not just a lost civilization, but it was actually a galactic experiment seeded by specific star systems and guarded by dragons, unicorns, and inner earth beings? Debbie Solaris is here to reveal the star origins of Lemuria, the true nature of elementals, and what timeline splitting really means right now for humanity. Stay with us for Debbie and Debbie, because you're about to gain cosmic history, practical tools to connect with elemental allies, and clarity on the collective trauma shaping parallel realities in real time. And of course, if you want to learn more about her, you can go to DebbieSolaris.com. And with that, I welcome my dear friend Debbie back to Dare to Dream. It's so wonderful to have you here again.
Thank you for having me back. Debbie, I'm sorry. It's just been a lot going on, but thank you for having me back, Debbie. It's amazing always to spend time with you. And you picked two of my most favorite topics, Lemuria and elementals. So I can talk all day about those.
Oh, I am so excited even to get a sense from you of these very interesting connections and intersections. So I'm going to start with Lemuria that you say was seeded by specific star systems. Which star civilizations were directly involved, and what was their original intention for Earth?
That's a great question. And I think there's, you know, a lot of stuff out on the internet that, you know, people just espouse things that are probably, you know, just things they're grasping onto. But my understanding from the Akashic Records is that there was two specific civilizations that were more the founder races of Lemuria, and that was the Arcturians and the Andromedans. And their intent as far as creating this civilization was to create a mother goddess consciousness reality on planet Earth. So it was always meant to be a mother goddess consciousness civilization. So it was not based on technology. It was not based on, you know, conquering other systems. It was more meant to be focused on spirituality and healing, which is what these two civilizations, these extraterrestrial civilizations, actually are experts at. You know, so yes, they're both very technologically adept, but the whole purpose of this civilization was to explore expanding consciousness through dimensional travels. You know, so these beings were in and out of dimensions. You know, they created, it was the only fifth dimensional reality on planet Earth. So during the time of Lemuria, so Lemuria was actually founded 70,000 BC. So Earth is a lot older than people think. So a lot of historians will say, like, oh, well, yeah, Lemuria was around, you know, maybe, 4,000 BC. No, it wasn't. It was way, way older. It was way older than even the Sphinx or even the Egyptian pyramids. It's a very ancient civilization. It's been around for thousands of years before it fell, which we'll talk about a little later. But it was, the whole purpose of it was to create a spiritual reality on planet Earth. And then, of course, you know, because we all follow this source template of divine masculine and divine feminine consciousness, Atlantis was created a little bit later to be more the masculine cohort of Lemuria. So it was meant to be more focused on the masculine qualities of technology and of expansion, you know. So Lemuria is actually I am very much a Lemurian soul myself. I have past life memories of being in Lemuria. I feel very connected to the lands of Lemuria, the remnants like Hawaii and the western coast of the United States, you know. So I'm more of a West Coast girl myself. I know you are too, but I really feel a deep connection because it was the Arcturians that helped that helped founded it, along with the Andromedans. Now, there were other races that also contributed to Lemuria, so I don't want to make it feel like it was just these two races. So the Lyrians also contributed to Lemuria, the Pleiadians did, Sirius A and B, Ursa Major. So there's beings from Ursa Major, and also Mintaka from the Orion system also had their influences in Lemuria. So it was a very much this oceanic kind of reality where there was dolphins and whales, there was all this aquatic life. And what's beautiful about the Lemurian people is that they were advanced humans. So they weren't human beings like we think of human beings today. These were people that had advanced abilities. They were shapeshifters. They were a telepathic civilization. They had the ability to fly, to swim, to do all the things that we don't currently aren't able to do as humans today. And I find that fascinating because some of my earliest memories of Lemuria was me flying and being able to swim, like in the ocean, like not just swim, but really swim, So it was just an amazing civilization all around. I could talk all day about it, but I know you have more questions.
We have so many, and just even based on what you said, oh, so beautiful to picture everything you're saying. First of all, the idea that Lemuria was a divine feminine creation, because in shamanism, we say that the earth is our goddess, our mother, our divine mother. So there, that principle somehow came through to other cultures, like indigenous cultures. And then when I hear you saying, Debbie, about telepathy, flying, swimming, advanced, way more advanced at 70,000 BC than we are today. It reminds me of where we're headed back again. So when we have these conversations about the beautiful children being born with all these gifts and the autistic telepathic children with all these gifts, that we seem to be slowly heading back to from whence we came, to being these very gifted people, albeit with a new choice of how we're going to handle our culture, our civilization, and the planet itself.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned elementals, and actually, Lemuria was chock filled with elementals. It was a reality where these advanced humans lived side by side with elemental beings. That's the image I keep seeing in the Akashic records when I tap into the records about Lemuria. Was this coexistence with elemental beings that actually originated from these other star systems that we talked about, the Lemuria or I'm sorry, the Lyra or the Pleiades. Lyra had a lot of air elementals, which I think is really interesting. I also teach a course on elementals, so and we're going to be, that's one of my presentations actually at New Living Expo, is the elemental kingdom. So it's a really cute presentation. I think people will love it. But getting into the elementals, like, it's one of my favorite topics because these beings were amazing. They represented elements. So some elementals are multi-elemental. So that would be like dragons, for instance. Dragons are one of the few elementals that can shift elements. Not every elemental can do that.
So
And
can
then we
you
were
give us
going
an
to talk.
example for the dragons? Because these are giant creatures.
Yeah,
What
they're
can they
giant
shift
creatures.
into?
So dragons came from Draco, but they weren't originally from Draco. They were originally from another universe. And dragons are more neutral in their polarity. So they can swing either light or dark. I wouldn't say they're evil. They just have their own agendas, you know. So they do dragon things. They don't do anything according to what anybody expects of them. They just do their thing. But they were great teachers on planet Earth for millennia. So a lot of Earth civilizations feature dragons as a prominent part of their civilization. I mean, I can think of quite a few just off the bat, you know, Chinese, Great Britain, Irish, European, even Inca and Aztec. They have the bearded dragons or the bearded serpents. And then we also have Native American. They have their form of dragons. I mean, there's cultures all around the planet that revered dragons because they were considered to be great teachers. And certainly, I do believe there was quite a few dragons even in Lemuria, you know. So, like I said, Lemuria was a space where it was not uncommon for humans to live by, side by side with these elementals and also be visited quite often by extraterrestrial races that would often come to visit to share information. And so it was very common back then. It was no like, oh my gosh, we're getting, you know, visited by ETs. You know, it was very, very common. So they were very, very connected with extraterrestrial races. They were like their brothers or their cousins.
When people hear Lemuria, they often imagine this very peaceful utopia. But for you, Debbie, from the Akashic Records, was it truly harmonious, or were these hidden tensions or galactic politics that were involved?
I would say, like a lot of civilizations, it started off that way. So it started off being, you know, this utopia, this heaven on earth. And it was probably that way for quite a while. But just like with a lot of other civilizations, there were internal conflicts that occurred in Lemuria. I don't know if these were territorial or there was also quite a few natural disasters that occurred even before Lemuria fell. So this is why you hear accounts of these Lemurian beings going underground or, you know, maybe creating civilizations, what we call inner Earth civilizations. Or there was also these accounts of Lemurians that were, maybe going, you know, just traveling to other parts of the Pacific Rim and starting colonies in other locations, such as Southeast Asia, because there was the little seedlings of corruption that it wasn't to the extent of Atlantis. I would say Atlantis got way more corrupt, but there was internal conflicts even in Lemuria, because we are indeed, you know, dealing with human beings, and humans are not perfect, you know, so. So there was that going on, and I would say this started happening around I want to say about 50 to 52,000 BC was when we started seeing the inklings of unrest in Lemuria. Lemuria fell probably around 36,000 BC, so that was when it finally ended, where they went into war with Atlantis, which I think Atlantis totally instigated that war, and there's a whole story behind that. But there was already the inklings of unrest that led to their eventual demise, which is really, really sad, because this was when Lemuria fell was when Earth plunged into the third dimension and never. And we've been there ever since. So obviously, with a lot of us light workers, our goal is to get back to the fifth dimension, you know, to bring in new Lemuria, which is what we'll talk about, I guess, a little later on. But yeah, I do believe that's what we're moving towards, like you were mentioning before.
Interesting, interesting. And I know also it was a very crystalline environment, and crystals were very important to the Lemurians. Can you talk some about how crystals play a part in their life, in their work, and in their culture?
Absolutely. A lot of us, I think I have, let me see where my crystal is. So I have a little crystal here. Maybe I can find it. It's my little Lemurian crystal. It's actually not that little, but so I have my little Lemurian seed crystal here. So so Lemurians, their temples were built out of crystal, and they did live in this crystalline reality because that's what fifth dimension is. We become crystalline beings, which is a hard concept to wrap your mind around when you're thinking of us as carbon-based beings. We live in these dense bodies, these dense realities. So like I said, these were advanced humans. And they utilize crystals quite a bit, not just for amplification of frequency, which is certainly one of the things they did, but also for astral travel and as portals of sorts, and then also to store information. So each of these Lemurian crystals, they have striations throughout the crystal because they're carrying information. And that's why when people hold these crystals, they feel such ancient frequency coming from them. It just feels like, oh my gosh, I'm holding history, So, and the reason why, my understanding from my knowledge of the history is that the elders, so these are Lemurian elders, so these are their councils. They had the gift of foresight, and they were seeing the demise of Lemuria. They knew that the good times weren't going to last, so they were preparing in advance. So they were downloading a lot of information into these crystals and transporting them to sacred locations all throughout the Pacific Rim, such as Mount Shasta, for instance, or Easter Island, or Fiji, or the Hawaiian Islands. And there's this information that is now starting to become revealed to us that has been underground, hidden from humanity for thousands and thousands of years. And the reason why they did this is because they didn't want this information getting into the wrong hands. And the other thing they did too was they diminished the abilities of the Lemurians over generations because they wanted people to be able to achieve these abilities in a natural evolutionary sort of way rather than just having it and not remembering what the intention or the use is for, and then using it for the wrong reasons, which is why we don't have these abilities today, but we are going to regain them, especially as our consciousness expands. So yes, their civilization was revolved around crystal energy. And I love the imagery that I see in the records with their beautiful crystalline temples and how they work so much with the crystals. It's just amazing.
It was amazing. So many things coming up for me while you share that. First of all, I have a beloved sister-in-law. I'm very close with her. She's into all of this, which is so cool. And she has a deep connection to Lemuria. So for one holiday, I always ask, what do you want? And she said, I want a Lemurian crystal. And she wanted to work with the energy and get the downloads. So I got her a big honking one. And that's beautiful. She's also the person who turned me on to the Telos, which are the Lemurian beings that went into the mountains of Mount Shasta to live there. And of course, they've changed. They don't look like they did then. Their composition has changed a lot. And a few things like one time I was doing this profound ayahuasca ceremony. And in it, there was actually a statue off in the distance, not the real thing, but an enormous replication of an Easter Island head. It meant nothing to me while I was sober. And as soon as I went on ayahuasca, this head was talking to me over and over again, saying,
Wow.
"You are my wife. You are my wife." And it was this unbelievable yearning to reconnect with it. So over the 4 days of the ayahuasca journeys, I spent a lot of time underneath it. When I came out, I was really confused, like, I don't even know what to do with this. And here you are sharing that is one of the places the Lemurians were able to go to and start another culture, which this is huge for me to hear. And all these pockets, all these places that you're referring to, the other one is the Tolosians, because recently Marilyn Gavicky was channeling when we did a live podcast at Conscious Life Expo, and out of nowhere, Zazar, who comes through her, was saying to me that I have a concurrent lifetime where I'm living among the Telos inside the mountains as a hybrid. It was really very interesting as a hybrid Liren living
Wow,
with them.
beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, and that was a whole new one. And even how they described it was kind of profound because I went to one of the retreats and they always have costume parties. It's so fun. And I got dressed up like a lion. It was the best feeling all night to dance like a lion. I teased my hair, it was huge.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah.
Painted my face, the whole thing. And Zazo was saying, just like how you dressed up here in this lion costume, that's how you are living in the mountains. That's what being a
Oh.
hybrid is. You're this and this put together. And I really got it. I really understood what they were saying. So there's so much in what you're talking about that's very exciting to me.
Oh, well, I appreciate that because I love that the Lemurians were shapeshifters, so they were able to shift into dolphin form or bird form or maybe even a cat form, like you're saying, like a lion, and they had abilities beyond what we even have. So this totally rings true for me, when you're talking about this. So how beautiful that Marilyn was able to channel that for you.
Very unexpected, but they felt like it was important information. And here you
Yeah.
are talking about this, starting to connect this. So I want
Yeah.
to go back a little bit to the elementals because I think that is such profound information. Gnomes, undines, sylphs, where did they actually originate in the galaxy?
That's a great question because obviously I traverse through the Akashic records a lot, and I see, many different types of beings. And one of the things that really stood out to me was that these beings, their essence originated from Andromeda Galaxy. But when they came into this galaxy, the Milky Way, they started taking more physical form, which I would say quasi-physical. It was more like crystalline. But the air elementals, formulated, I would say, in Lyra. So we see the fairies and the pixies and no, I think pixies are earth, but we see these air elementals, the sylphs and the fairies that were more aligned with Lyra. Pleiades was known for the earth elementals, so a lot of the pixies, the gnomes, so for some reason the Pleiades. And so a lot of civilizations that had some influence from the Pleiades, you do see this preponderance of these earth elementals, such as Central Europe. There's a lot of earth elemental, gnomes are everywhere in Germany, for instance. And then we see earth elementals all throughout different civilizations on Earth. Fire elementals are kind of different. These were beings that originated from Antares, so they carry that fire element, and so a lot of them are salamanders. So they kind of sometimes take on lizard form, but then they're also to take on this human fiery kind of form, and those are really interesting. And then we have the water elementals that developed also in Lyra, but mostly in Sirius and Mintaka. So when these beings that were from these, ET beings from these other civilizations, that were coming visiting Lemuria, they were bringing their elemental beings with them. And some of them chose to stay. They were just like, hey, I want to be a paradise on Earth. Let's hang out here. And actually, elemental beings, it was very prevalent in ancient times. People had more communication with them. I know there's quite a bit of elementals in Stonehenge and in, some of the Druidic and King Arthurian lore. There's quite a few elemental beings that are in these legends, and so the people, it was very common for humans to interact with them. But since the shutting down or the during the Middle Ages, that's when consciousness really took a w huge step backwards, during the prevalence of Christianity and these religious sects that kind of took over. And so these beings exist in other dimensions right now. But I do hear quite a bit from a lot of my clients and students and, people that, like you, for instance, that have interaction with these beings, so they're coming forward to some of us. So they are starting to enter, like quite a few of my clients might have connections with dragons, or they might have connections with unicorns. Or unicorns was very unique. They were from Lyra, and I love that about them. They're from Lyra, and they
Right.
were, yeah, they're ninth dimensional elementals, so very high vibrational. They're beautiful. They were developed to carry the Christ consciousness. So they came to planet Earth to bring in this love consciousness to the planet, but they were being hunted down, especially during early medieval times. So they had to go into hiding. And these are very shy beings. If you ever get visited by a unicorn, you're very blessed indeed, because they don't just come up to anybody. But I personally have never seen a unicorn. I pray and hope one day I will, because I love them. But some of us are starting to see dragons. We're starting to interact with these various other elementals. And like I said, Lemuria had a lot of them. They were living amongst the people, just like they did in Lyra and in the Pleiades. So yeah, they were a big part of Lemurian culture.
Phoenixes, are they also part of this? And do they come from the star
Absolutely.
system?
They are. Phoenixes are very much Andromeda Galaxy. They are a fire elemental.
Makes
So
sense.
unlike the unicorns and the dragons that are multi-elemental, as far as the elements they align with, they're very much a fire elemental, but they do align a lot with the Andromeda Galaxy energies. So they're here to bring great change. So they're,
What role were they playing on Earth and in Earth civilizations? Were they guardians? Were they architects? Were they record keepers?
That's a great question. I would say they're probably a little bit of all of that. They're amazing beings that they symbolize kind of the spiritual death and then the rebirth. So they're kind of an archetype of this rebirth into a better reality, which the phoenix is always being depicted as this bird that gets engulfed in flames, but then springs out of the flames, this massive, beautiful bird that just it represents the spiritual rebirth, which that is a theme that we see over and over again in human mythology and human religions. They talk about the sun god Ra being rebirthed, as Horus was another god that was constantly being rebirthed, Mithras in the Sumerian cultures and Roman mythology, and then also Jesus. Jesus is also another representation of that. So they were the human phoenixes of the planet.
Amazing. Well, we have so much more to cover. This is going to be a very quick pause, my friends, so we can go a little bit deeper. I have something special for you, free access to your Starseed video and report so you can start to learn your galactic origins and your ancestry out in the stars. If you're ready to discover that, and it really is life-changing, go to debbiedashinger.com/Starseed. All the links will be in the show notes, and it is Debbie, no E, Debbie, and the last name Dachinger, Dachinger.com/Starseed. Debbie Solaris and I will be speaking at the New Living Expo in April in San Rafael, California. Join us. Come see us speak live. Spend time with us. Connect with your community. There's going to be vendors. There's going to be music, lots of presentations and panels. You can get your tickets at newlivingexpo.com. And finally, if this conversation means something to you, hype this video, it helps. Your support by subscribing, liking, commenting, and I read all the comments, helps Debbie and I to reach way more star seeds and light workers around the globe. And we want to feel supported by you, our community, as well. So once you watch this, or take a moment while you're watching this, hype it on YouTube, like it, comment. Really means a lot to me. Please do it. And thank you in advance. Okay, heading back to Debbie Solaris. You mentioned a little bit earlier, Debbie, about portals and inner earth beings. I don't know if you knew how obsessed I am with this subject, but I've been researching it, oh, at least a year and a half, 2 years. And it's been a mind-blowing journey of research of all of what exists beneath our feet. I'd love to hear from your perspective about these active civilizations that are going on, seen or unseen. And are humans interacting with them at all without realizing it?
I do think there's some humans that maybe have an ancestral connection with these beings, and that they do have encounters with Talosians or with Agarthians or some of these other inner Earth civilizations. And there is a Lyran component to these civilizations, so I do think some of them were developed maybe after the initial colonization of Earth, maybe during the time of the dinosaurs, when kind of the reptilian factions took over and dinosaurs were roaming the Earth. So humans at that time had to go underground. And then there was quite a few of these Lemurian exiled folks, or Lemurian refugees, that also went underground. And so this is a lot more prevalent, and I think a lot of people realize, because they've done a very good job of hiding themselves, so they weren't gonna just like the elementals, they weren't gonna make themselves known until the consciousness got to a certain level on this planet, which we're quickly approaching that as we speak. So I have heard of people that have had encounters with Talosians and Agarthians in Mount Shasta, that other parts of the planet, where sacred sites, throughout the planet, people have had encounters with these inner earth beings. But I do think there's a direct kind of ancestral connection, or some sort of star family connection with these encounters. And it's usually, I would say, a contract that was decided, even before their incarnation. So they had this agreement that they were going to interact with these beings when the time was right. I do believe eventually, as we start having external contact from extraterrestrial beings, so these extraterrestrial beings, supposedly, according to Bashar, is supposed to happen next year, 2027. So I hope his timeline is right. I got 2028 to 2032, so I don't know. We'll see who's correct. But yeah, I do think there's also going to be interactions with inner Earth beings, where once the consciousness gets to a certain place where they feel like they will be more accepted, where more people are of that love consciousness standpoint, they'll start interacting with us more as well. But I think it's amazing that you've done all this research and that you feel this deep connection with it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it started with Tim Tactical coming on my show several years ago, and he always loves to blow my mind. And at the time, he said, "I'm going to tell you about ant people." I'm like, "What?" And he said, of course, he worked for the German government on UFOs. So this man is not about to lie. He has some insane personal experience. So I was so fascinated. I have a big researcher in me. So that was a huge deep dive, which then opened me up to tons of other information around this subject. I'm very grateful for it. I love learning this stuff. But then, it started making me a little bit of a, besides nerd, also an expert. I had a film company flying me out to Vancouver just recently for a documentary on Inner Earth. And I was one of the experts that they were interviewing. And I do have a ton of information about the history and on Earth and stuff. And I find all of it really very interesting. And that's why I love this subject, whether it's here or in the cosmos. It's not a one and done. It's the
Yeah.
more you learn, the more there is to learn. And the more you
Oh, yeah,
learn,
it's
the
never
more, you know,
ending.
and it's so fascinating. And I really like the idea that this is not it. You know, what you see with your eyes and the four walls, like none of it really is real. And the history we've been taught isn't real. So thank you. I love deep diving into this. And another thing that's really interesting and I think is also prevalent right now is timeline splitting, which you talk about. From your galactic perspective, Debbie, what is actually happening when collective trauma creates parallel narratives? Or I want to add to that mix, many of us are healing massively and learning massively, which I think also collectively can change the timeline. So talk about that, about what's happening.
Oh yeah, that's another favorite topic of mine, timeline bifurcation. Yes, a timeline bifurcation. So a lot of people think it's more of a physical split. It really isn't. It's more of an energetic split. So when I talk about timelines converging into each other, so we live in this multi-universe or multi-dimensional reality. So there's a So for every physical reality that we're in, there's probably like 20 or 40 alternate dimensional realities that we're also simultaneously experiencing. And so what's happening on the planet right now is that some of the old timelines that we were aligned with, where we're heading towards Armageddon, where we're heading towards the World War III, or towards the destruction of the planet, that has been shifted. So that's no longer going to be our reality, because there's been enough of us that has come on into incarnated on this planet that's shift, that's brought our higher frequency energy to shift this reality. And so what's going on is that a lot of those old timelines are collapsing. They're no longer going to be our reality. So we've kind of ended the contract with those other dimensions. But what we're seeing physically in this reality is that there's a lot of like these changes that are going on in our reality that seems a little strange. I talk about Mandela effects. Like there's a lot of Mandela effects coming into play right now. Like stuff that used to exist, I would say 10, 20 years ago, doesn't exist anymore, or it's completely changed. I mean, it could be anything. It could be lines in the movies, so actor lines, have changed. Movies have changed. The cultural logos and symbols have changed. Even political events or cultural events have changed completely. And this is because things have shifted in our reality. So we're now in a higher timeline where, we are going to see the golden age. But with every change, there's always this kind of unrest. There's a lot of chaos that might occur with that, which I think people are seeing right now. So it may look like, oh yeah, things are going to hell in a handbasket. There's, United States invading Colombia. There's United States going into Iran. Who knows? I mean, it's this, so there's all this unrest. But I do believe this is leading to better things, so it may not seem like it, may seem, it's almost like you have to take the bigger picture of what's happening and not get sucked into the drama of it, because that's real easy to do, especially when you're seeing this stuff on mainstream news all the time. But it's these dark forces that are pulling out all stops, they're just like, we want to keep things under the old order. We want to keep things under our control. So they're just pulling out all stops, but we've already won the war. We won this. It's a spiritual war and we won it. And things are going to happen the way they happen. But this is one of my favorite topics because I think what a lot of us personally are feeling is that we're not on the same timeline anymore. Some of us have experienced what we call ascension symptoms, so we might feel extra tired or have these flu-like symptoms because we are shifting in and out of these different dimensions quite a bit. But what we're seeing more and more, I think individually for a lot of us, is that situations, people, things that we were previously aligned with, we're no longer aligning with. And so people will drop out of our lives. We might find that, hey, I'm going to pick up and move, or I'm going to change my career, or even I would say physical reality doesn't look the same. I do notice that the sun no longer shines yellow; it shines white. It was something that my husband and I realized that, wow, the sun doesn't even look the same. And details of leaves and trees are a lot sharper. Some of us are starting to see auras around things. We see colors more brilliantly. I noticed the sky here in Colorado looks a lot bluer than it used to for decades. And the greens look more green. So a lot of us are experiencing these changes. And we're not making it up. It's real. It's this timeline bifurcation. So what I see is that it's not going to be like a physical shift, like we're going to have two different planets, but more like an energetic or dimensional shift where those of us that are aligning more with the fourth and fifth dimension, those are the realities that we're mostly going to be residing in. And then the rest of the folks that are still choosing to be part of the 3D reality will be in 3D. 3D will eventually, I would say, I think that's why we're also seeing a lot of attrition of souls right now. So a lot of souls are choosing to check out because they don't want to be part of the shift, or maybe they're choosing to be part of another reality. But we're seeing a lot of celebrities, particularly, that are choosing to leave. A lot of deaths, even amongst our families. I just lost my cousin not long ago, and she was a big part of my life. But for whatever reason, she chose to move on. But the rest of us, we're here for the long haul, so we're going to see it to the end.
Yes, there's so much validity in what you're saying. I have really noticed how many people are choosing to leave the planet right now. It's amazing. And I
It's
agree.
crazy. It's
They have
crazy.
a different choice, commitment, soul commitment. They have other things to do. God bless. And we're still here. I guess we're going to see this sucker through. It's amazing what you're saying. And the Mandela effect, it's a fantastic theory and interesting to know about, but I've experienced it now twice myself, once over a blood test, a health related thing, and then again with a chain text. And it was impossible what happened, but I had just a routine blood test, like once a year blood test, very pedestrian. And I decided to look at the results online, and I'm, going through, yes, fine, 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 fine. And all of a sudden I see something in red, which makes no sense. about Candida albicans. And I'm like, first of all, why would my doctor check me for Candida albicans? I have no symptoms. It makes no sense. But it showed like extremely alarming numbers and in red. And I'm like, whoa, this makes no sense in my reality, in my body, with what I eat. But I know that that is very important to take care of immediately. So I'm on the phone with my doctor, and they don't know why I got tested. And I'm looking at the results. I even called Quest Labs to say, this happened. I need you to check. So it took a day. It left. It even left on my end. That was so
Wow.
weird.
Wow.
And I
How
also don't.
bizarre is that? Wow.
How bizarre. And I also don't know if somebody else's reality or blood tests bled into mine and then went away. And then, literally a week later, same thing. There was a chain text. I was on it and something was definitely being said. And I wanted to address it. And I went back in, couldn't find it, didn't exist, completely gone. I was like, damn,
Wow.
this is so cool how this happened.
This
So,
is
this.
my Mandela effect story, and I
Yeah.
think some people will be able to relate to this. So I'm an 80s baby through and through. I love all culture, music, all about the 80s. And there was this comedian that was very big into 80s. His name was Sinbad, and he was super funny. And I remember in the 80s watching this movie called Shazam, which where Sinbad played this genie. So he played a genie. And I kid you not, I actually have the picture of the movie poster. I remember the movie. I remember it happening. I remember watching it. And I even have a physical picture of the actual movie poster where he played this role. And now, if you ask Sinbad about that movie, he claims he never created a movie named Shazam, never played a genie. He doesn't know anything about it, which is really, really bizarre. And I'm like thinking, okay, I know I watched that movie. And that, it wasn't just me. There was a lot of people out there
It. I
yeah.
have a poster and what it
Yeah, the
looks like, what
poster.
he looks
Yeah.
like. It's a big genie coming out, but it has his face and a
Yeah, it has
little
his face
cap.
on it. Yeah. And he claims he's never made a movie. He never played a genie. And I'm like thinking, okay, there's something weird going on. This is like a crazy Mandela effect because I do remember watching that movie. And like you and we both seen I actually have a physical picture of that poster. But for some reason, it no longer exists. If you were to try to look for it, you won't ever find it. And there's a lot of Mandela effects like this that is indicative of this timeline changes that we're going through. You know, it's just like things get shifted and changed in these different realities, and there's no explanation for it. And you know, I think the Mandela effect is as good as any. You know, it's just a result of these changes, which I do believe it's for the better. I do believe we're on a much better timeline. I know that Dolores Cannon talked about Nostradamus and his predictions, where he was predicting like the end of the
Yeah,
world occurring at
yes.
this time. And he was a legitimate prophet, you know, so I do believe he had legitimate skills. I don't think he was making this stuff up because some of his predictions about World War I and World War II did come to pass, but everything that he's predicted since then has not come true. And I think it's because we've shifted into this other reality. And so his version of the future is not necessarily going to occur because we as a collective consciousness have chosen to change it, which is an amazing thing.
It is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I want to get these questions in here at the end because we brought them up in the beginning. And you mentioned Lemuria and its fall. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And then I want to go into New Lemuria. So
Yeah.
share about what don't we know about what actually happened to the people, to their civilization. And you said that was around 3600, 36,000
1000
BC.
BC. Yeah, so that was yeah, it was very tragic. So my understanding, and this is of course my interpretation from, my connection with the records, but was that throughout, I would say so this all started with the unification of the Orion constellation. So Orion, so there's always a backdrop story to everything, but there's always a galactic component to all these stories, but. So Orion was under constant conflict for millions of years, and then eventually, I would say the resistance fighters. So it's very much Orion. The Star Wars saga is all about the Orion Wars. I think all of us kind of know that by now, but a lot of us do. But the Belt Stars were always in war with the. Or, Draconian Empire, which was based in these outlier stars in the Orion constellation. And then you had the Beltstar people, that was all the resistance. Well, they called upon assistance from the Galactic Federation and other galactic councils to assist them. And so, through the support of all these benevolent extraterrestrial beings, they were able to unify Orion. Well, when this happened, these dark factions, either the Draconian beings, the gray aliens, or whoever that was involved with the Empire, didn't want to get integrated into the light. So they were just like, you know what, we want to stay in control. So we're just going to find new places to conquer. So they looked, they came to our solar system, and initially they these beings settled in Maldek. Things didn't go well in Maldek, so there was a big civil war there, and Maldek got blown up. And so now, what's left of Maldek is the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. So these beings started finding other new places to incarnate into, and they chose Atlantis because Atlantis was very technological, and they figured, well, we can infiltrate that much easier than Lemuria. And so they infiltrated the government, and they started making internal changes that changed the whole perspective of the Atlantean people. So this was so in the beginning, when Atlantis and Lemuria, they were coexisting with one another, so there wasn't any conflict between them. But then with these dark factions starting to influence, the ruling class in Atlantis was very hierarchical, not unlike Lemuria, where everybody was equal in Lemuria. So these beings, they said, hey, you know what, we don't like those Lemurians, they're not our friends, so there was this whole campaign again, just pretty much stating that these beings were the Atlantean enemies, and that if the Atlanteans didn't conquer them, they were going to conquer the Atlanteans. So there was, pitting one group against another, which is happens a lot of times here on Earth. And so they went to war with the Lemurians. And although the Lemurians were very advanced spiritually, they didn't have the technology to be able to withstand, this advanced tech, Atlantean ships, the Atlantean starships, their physical ships. And so, and all the weaponry that the Atlanteans had, the Lemurians basically didn't have any weaponry. They had canoes. I mean, how are they going to, compete against, these massive starships. So unfortunately, they did manage to sink Lemuria, at least the big continent part of it. There are still remnants of Lemuria. So we see remnants of Lemuria in Hawaii, New Zealand, Thailand, some parts of Southeast Asia, Fiji, Easter Island, Australia. And there's still, indigenous groups in these areas, such as the Australian Aborigines, that still carry teachings from the Lemurian day, such as the dream time, that they're into, that came from Lemuria. So this is interdimensional travels. The Maori talk about, so the Maori beings from, being tribes from New Zealand talk about Lemurian the Lemurian Fall. It's been part of their legends for hundreds of thousands of years. So they've been talking about these Lemur, the Lemur Fall of Lemuria. They talk about this land that they all used to be a part of, and then they had to leave. And these are stories that have been brought. They all talk about this great flood that sank this continent, so these are stories that have been repeated over and over again in these indigenous cultures. And it's even true of also the Pacific Northwest Native American tribes. A lot of their totems that they build are representative of Lemurian stories and Lemurian symbolism. So even, the totem poles that we all love, that these in Washington State and British Columbia and the Pacific Northwest also had great influences from Lemuria. Same with the Easter Egg Islands, which you referred to earlier. Those were created because Lemurians were very tall beings, so they weren't tiny little people. They were tall, they were beautiful beings. So but it was actually created to be a representative or to honor the Arcturians. So the Easter e island eggs or island, I keep saying eggs, Easter and eggs. I guess we got Easter in the mind, because Easter's just around the corner. But the Easter island heads, they are representative of the Arcturian founders. That's my understanding. So there is a lot of Lemurian energy being frequency and energy being carried within these great statues, which they call the Moai, by the way. And they were considered to be the spirits of the ancestors. So there's a lot of Lemurian influence throughout this part of the planet. I would say more so than maybe Europe, where we see more influences from Atlantis, but obviously Egypt, and also North Africa, a little bit more influence from Atlantis. But this part of the world that you and I are connected with, a lot of Lemurian remnants throughout very lot quite a few cultures. Even the Thailand temples were representative of the temples in Lemuria. So I don't know if you've ever been to Thailand, but the temples are amazing. They're beautiful. They're otherworldly looking. And yeah, because they were influenced by Lemuria. So a lot of beautiful things we can look at and connect with.
You never disappoint. You
I
just
know,
always
yeah, it's like,
deliver.
yeah, I know. I've done my own research in Lemuria, and when I was, finding this out about, because I always, I've been, I spent time in Thailand when I was in the military. I spent like a whole month there, and I felt this deep connection with the temples there, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, because I wasn't raised Buddhist or anything, but now I know why, and it's like, wow, okay. Now I know why this was so important to me, to be there, and so I think a lot of us, when we visit Hawaii, for instance, amazing energies in Hawaii. I mean, it's just
Yes.
yeah, amazing energies there. Amazing energies in Mount Shasta, so we're bringing this back. So you mentioned New Lemuria. Did you have a specific question about that, or?
Curious how it relates to us right now, how that will be cropping up, how that will influence us, what we can look forward to seeing or experiencing, or maybe reactivated inside of ourselves.
I do think it's more of an, it starts all internally first. I do agree with you there that it is more of an internal shift where we start remembering our connections to Lemuria. We start having past life memories of our time there. And then we start desiring to bring that back, is that we want to create heaven on earth again. We want to create that fifth dimensional reality. And so it starts with a thought, it starts with a desire to have that, and then we start manifesting that into our reality, which I think a lot of us are currently doing. There's a lot of retreats in these sacred areas. We talked about even, New Living Expo. I do think that's in Lemurian, the Lemurian realm, or close to it. And there's lots of retreats in Hawaii and in Mount Shasta and different parts of the Lemurian realm. I know a lot of people like to do retreats in Bali. So there is this this great interest in amongst many of us to not only learn more about the Lemurian culture, but also to bring that back, to bring back that divine feminine energy that's been missing from this planet for millennia. And it's time, girl. It's time. Yeah, we need to bring it back.
Thank you for
So.
bringing that back up. That's like such a perfect ending and way to come full circle. And definitely with the Peruvians living high up in the Andes who speak Quechua, they have talked about the Pachacuti forever, which means a time of change, and that we are living in a Pachacuti right now. And one of the great changes is once again the rise of the divine feminine, where there will finally be the balance, the peace, the equality, and the woman again having the voice and the leadership. So I am all about it. I appreciate so much everything you shared today. And Debbie, where can people find you? What's next for you? And where are all the links where we can connect with you?
I would say the best way to connect with me is my website, which you mentioned earlier, but I'll mention it again. It's debbiesolaris.com. That's Debbie with an IE, not just an I. It's like Debbie, but it is DEBBIESOLARIS. And you can see the events. So I do have an events page. So you can see the events I'll be physically at. Debbie mentioned New Living Expo. That's our next hurrah after the Mystery School at Sea cruise. And then I will be actually visiting two Lemurian based areas this summer. So the first one is Kona, Hawaii. So I'll be there right after the New Living Expo. So I'll be there for the Journey to Truth retreat there. And then I'm also going to Mount Shasta in July for the Calling, which is the angelic reunion. So that's with Jonathan Shalimar's group. And so I'm going to be doing my own Lemurian reactivation in these areas. But and then as far as trainings, I am offering an advanced Akashic course, but that is only offered to people that graduated my Galactic Akashic course. The Galactic Akashic reading course will be offered again in August. So if you're interested, do sign up on my website. So lots of good things happening this year.
She's the best. She's the best of the best. Well, folks, I end today's show with this reminder. Lemuria was never just a memory of the past. It was a blueprint of harmony between star beings, elementals, and humanity. When we remember all of our roots, including galactic and elemental and Earth, we do not escape Earth. We become conscious stewards of it. Keep joining me every week. Make sure to subscribe because in the next coming weeks on the podcast, I am speaking with Heather Lynn, PhD, who's going to be talking about the Anunnaki. And also, David Palmer is going to be on the show. He's an astrological genius, and we're going to be talking about the astrology of you, Earth, and right now. For the curious. This has been Dare to Dream for souls who are longing to connect with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Be sure to subscribe and thank you for joining us on this journey today.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBI. DACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashner, your number one transformation conversation.